way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 34,
for real this time, of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
Today's episode of the DBA pod is brought to us by Salsma's Fireworks. You can swing by this Friday, June 18th. They're doing their annual demo. They'll have concessions available and swing out fireworks on the east side of the farm starting at 9. Food trucks available starting at 5. Check everything out. Very helpful. Salsma's Fireworks, east of Sanborn, west of Hartley. Swing on down. Good selection. Great price. We thank them for sponsoring episode 34.
Yeah. Now that we have the right numbers sequence going on, we're glad to have Amy on the show, and we look forward to talking with her here as the month wears on. But yeah, this fireworks demo coming up on Friday. As we record this, it's Wednesday the 15th, and yeah, we're looking forward to being there.
We went last year, and we were fortunate that the time we went, a bunch of people were in the store, but my kids saw kittens, yeah. So they played with the kittens. And then
you take one home?
We took four home.
That's right.
Wow. Buy $100 of fireworks, get four free kittens.
I remember that.
That was a special deal they were running at 7 p.m. on that day and that day only.
I remember that.
And we
had
went
to spend
inside.
$200 to only have to take two cats home.
This is all I got is $100. And we went in and we had the store to ourselves with Jay and Amy. And it was fun because while both would agree on a lot of things, both still had different opinions on what a newbie like myself should start with, or maybe what my kids would enjoy better. And
yeah. I think you should try the snake and some sparklers. Yeah, here. Right.
Yeah, maybe those little things that you throw against the ground and they snap. We're worried about your coordination.
What I learned was everything in their store they like. It's not that they've got stuff in there that they think, well, this is the good stuff.
The distributor.
You know, like they don't have a Busch Light section to their store. They have only the good stuff.
What are you saying about Busch Light?
It's just the regular ho-hum.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the it's none the of us generic fireworks where, or firecrackers, the half of them don't go off. It's fine for what you pay for it, but it's nothing to write home about.
So I remember one of the fireworks, Jay said, now you've got a cinder block around, you're going to want to have a cinder block here, and then you set this inside the cinder block. And it wasn't until after I lit it and it shot back at the house that I remembered Jay saying, if you have a cinder block, set this inside the cinder block.
So do you let the kids shoot off fireworks unsupervised?
No.
Nope.
No,
nobody does that. Nobody does that anymore.
He's lying, by the way.
No, I don't.
I don't know about, well, maybe in Minnesota.
We had to do fireworks. We had to go to Wisconsin to get fireworks.
But did you? I mean, did you and other kids shoot them off in the backyard?
Yeah,
so did I. My parents would be like, here's $100 worth of fireworks. Let us know if you need a ride to the hospital. And just
let's
go.
Let's do a digit check.
I was like 9 years old. And I have a 9-year-old. Ain't no way in hell. I barely trust him with a sparkler.
My freaking helicopter parent.
And I wasn't that much more responsible. I don't.
Yeah, it is amazing. So Asa the other night, there was a raccoon eating out of the cat food jar again. And he's like, should I go get my .22 and shoot it? And
listen to him.
Yeah. Go do that. And then I thought, yeah, I'm going to go out and help him. Uh-huh. He is 13 now.
Did he have the chutzpah to pull the trigger?
He got it done. I said, just please look past what you're shooting and think about, what am I going to hit now that I've missed? That's the first thing you say before you pull that trigger.
That's and, just a camper.
And get your stinking finger out. You know, you all of a sudden you're running through gun safety again. I know, Dad. You've said this 100 times. It's like, you don't know how nervous I am here right now, boy. Because I remember some holes I've put in things over the years by not looking past the thing I was shooting. And I got by pretty lucky. I'd rather you not... Yeah. Never have to worry about that.
But thanks to Gettings for sponsoring our last few episodes here. As we record this, the 15th, it's opening day over there. So
it is.
I'm sure Andy's having all sorts of fun with the kiddos in the backyard. And we actually showed Ava some the Facebook photos of all the stuff that they have going on there. She's super excited about going there. So look forward to that.
Yeah, when you taking her, Dad?
I'm sure she'll be there soon.
You got basically 3.5 weeks from today.
That's 3.5 weeks. That's
their season typically, unless things were to really cool down. But yeah, it's so I had to drop. So that's Asa's full-time job now.
Oh, he's working there. He's got a full-time job.
Yeah. Andy texted and said, hey, you know, I'm willing, or he called and said, hey, I'm willing to let Asa work here half days. Let's try half days. So Monday dropped him off.
That's right, because I remember when we talked with him on the last episode, he's like, oh, you know, we like 16-year-olds or 15-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even 14-year-olds.
Yeah, and I dropped him off. He had to learn what a time clock was and how that works. And I had to go in this morning and actually help him because somebody else did it for him. Because he was just laying it in the tray, not pushing it all the way to the back to make it go. Yeah. I just can't get it to work. Can you come in and help? But so this morning, I dropped him off. And the lineup was out onto the blacktop.
Wow.
Of people waiting to get in the Gettings. People were so excited to get in and pick berries the first morning that there was a traffic jam on L40.
Well, you know, it was nice this morning, too. You know,
I wouldn't want to be out there right now.
Yeah. So I text Andy yesterday at noon and said, hey, where can I pick Ace up at? He's like, I'll just keep him the whole day.
Okay.
Right. He doesn't have lunch with him or nothing. Now I'll take him with me for lunch. You got to go to the boss's house for dinner.
Oh, man.
How about that?
Must be making a heck of an impression.
Yeah.
Better than Dad made, apparently.
Something tells me this burned through all of our sponsorship monies that Andy's now forced to take care of Asa. But
right. He said, just have him pack a lunch tomorrow. So I was like, oh, all right. Well, apparently we went from 8 to noon to 8 to 5.
Good for him.
Yep. And one of his coworkers today texted me at 5 o'clock because Renee or I was going to stop and pick him up. And he's like, Asa told me that he was going to walk home today. So just what I'm thinking about doing in 90 degree weather after working out in the heat all day, going for a mile and a half walk.
You know, you guys maybe were there, probably not Mitch. So maybe it's just Aaron. Where you were in like good enough shape where that actually sounded like a good idea.
That could be him.
Wasn't, you know, I'm saying that I can't imagine like any like iteration of me, because I've had different iterations of me. Some were the size I am now, and some the size I was 10 years ago, where I am now two of that. But none of that ever sounded like, hey, let me work all day and then walk a mile and a half.
So if I had to call somebody for a ride at 5 o'clock after working all day in the heat, I would have a different request. Not, I'll just walk home. It would be, can you come pick me up? But be sure your AC has been like cranked to cold and you've driven for a while. So the whole cabin is super cold
and
maybe have some beverages.
Yeah. Put them in the freezer. So they're just about frozen.
Mm-hmm. And maybe some Gold Bond.
Have you had the talk with Asa about the...
No, not yet. No.
If he comes waddling down the stairs.
Yeah, he probably will tonight after. I'll get home and, Dad, I just can't walk. I don't think I can go in tomorrow. Son, I've got a miracle cure for you, bud.
Is that one of the rites of passage? Huh?
I had to teach Wyatt about that. We had an outdoor wedding a few weeks ago, and he and I were getting ready. Greta and Lydia had to be there earlier than us, and then he saw me grab the old handful and, you know, you guys know the wrist flick and whatever. And he's like, Dad, what are you doing? And I was like, well, you might as well learn this sooner or later. Now's as good a time as any. Here, I'm gonna teach you how to apply Gold Bond. And so yep. It was like a good father-son bonding moment.
So what I like is that you could equate it in sports terms. Son, you see what LeBron James does before he goes onto the court when he takes that. Well, we're going to do that to a different kind of ball today.
But anyways, Ace has got his first full-time job. Andy invited him back for a second day. It's like, I feel so good as a father knowing that my son was able to work all day and be invited back to work the next. You know, just like when you're over that hump, you're like, Oh, thank goodness, my kid is not totally worthless. Because you just kind of, you're curious. You don't know what he's like. I know what he's like when he's with me. What's he going to be like when he's with somebody else?
But you got to admit, Ace has come a long way.
Oh, he has.
Because I remember, probably was it this time last year, maybe 2 years ago, he was, what, was he riding beans or something like that? And that might even been when we were on the radio, that you were talking about how nervous you were.
Yeah, that, what he was doing.
It was something for a farmer.
Oh, yeah, he was walking beans with a neighbor.
Yeah.
They were doing a little walking, and I was, really worried, too, about that. Because it's like, you're leaving them on their own. I can't be there to whisper in their ear, like, no, don't forget this little piece. Don't forget to do that. Oh, you missed something. They're there on their own.
Yeah. Speak up. Look them in the eye.
Yeah, like, that's the last thing, literally, I said to him when I dropped him off was, when anybody that's older than you sticks their hand out to shake, you be sure you squeeze their hand tight. And you talk loud. And that was the first question I had was when he said, oh, I had dinner with Andy today. And I'm just scared to death. Like, did you talk out loud? Yeah, I answered their questions and I talked loud just like you said. And I was like, yes, thank you. Not staring at your toes, mumbling.
Yes. So, and he just had a birthday too, right?
He did. Just last week.
Yeah, because I remember I happened upon that picture on Facebook and I don't even recognize the kid.
Oh, he's last 12 months, he's,
oh my goodness,
probably grown 6-8 inches.
He does look like that guy on The Simpsons, the teenager guy.
The kind of zit-faced teenager. I'm not saying he's zit-faced. I'm just referring to that character. That's what I meant by that.
But yeah.
Hey, sir, Mr. Simpson.
Yeah. Listen to him talk and just every once in a while. He'll find that baritone.
Well, we all went through that phase.
Yeah, and yesterday morning started with us loading up 3 steers and heading to Hudson. We loaded up at about 5:15 in the morning, headed to Hudson, came home, dropped him off at work. He worked 9 hours and then came home, and then we did more work after that. And Andy texted and said, is he tired? And I said, yeah, he didn't tell you and I didn't tell you, but he actually started 5:15 this morning. So, yeah, he's pretty tired. Yeah. But that's...
What do they have him doing out there?
Yesterday, they picked thistles, pulled thistles or any other weeds that were in the rows of the strawberries that were getting picked today. So that way everything is just pure, just picturesque. And because none of that stuff gets any herbicides. So everything's got to be picked and pulled.
Manicured manually.
So they did that for a few hours. And then they had to take care of some grubs with some grub treatment, different places, and then wash some UTVs that get used to bring people everywhere so everything looked nice and clean for opening day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then this morning he got his own Getting shirt.
Wow.
No official.
He's the real deal. I do just feel so proud.
You are beaming right now.
Yes, I'm 1-for-4, you know? These other ones are 1-for-1, I guess I should say that, because these other ones are just, they've got time to wait yet. But,
yeah, and then you haven't seen Ezra yet today, so you're still pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be interesting when Andy takes him on board. Good luck, Andy. Just, by the way, I'm turning off my phone. So if you don't want him anymore, don't text. You're going to have to take him home yourself.
Well, I'm just hoping that when he's there because he wants to be, not because it's court ordered.
This is part of your community service, son.
I think he'd be good on the security team, probably.
Yeah, you could rough some people up.
Hey, I saw you eat that strawberry.
Yeah, what would you have to do to get booted out of the strawberry patch and not allowed
apparently
to come back?
Apparently, they're pretty lenient on that. I was worried when we went, they were going to weigh my kids in and out, and I'd have owed them a lot more money.
2 pounds of strawberries. Prove it. Well, let's just wait here a little bit, and we'll find out. But you said you had to go to Hudson, back to the locker, which I still haven't gotten my ground beef yet.
In my freezer.
All right.
Waiting for you. Yeah, I thought you were coming. I thought you were getting it.
That's my bad.
Oh.
You know, I should have actually, said, hey, I should grab that. But you had an interesting experience. We had talked about how you had like a mobile butcher come. And
the old Parlor Meat Company. It started a guy who lives kind of between Sioux Center and Rock Valley. He's probably a little younger than you guys, I'd say. But anyways, he had this bright idea that he would do the mobile butcher thing. He would come out to your place with a refrigerated truck with everything he needs, and he would put the animal down on your yard, which for me was really good because either my bull was going to get hurt or I was going to get hurt or both of us were going to get hurt. And it just worked so slick, and it was incredible. And he, every customer he'd worked with just loved it, the fact that he comes to the yard. And what he brings back to the locker is a quartered animal and all the remains. It's not like you've got a pile of stuff you have to deal with when you're when he's gone.
Have
there's
fun
nothing.
With the blood pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's all cleaned up and it was incredible. Well, a week or two ago, he was notified by the same agency and the same people that told him that it was a really cool idea. And they inspected everything and said everything looks good. They came back and said, we've changed our minds, and they've shut him down and he can no longer do mobile butchering.
How did they just change their mind?
They can
how,
do that.
How does that happen?
It's a government agency of oversight with career officials.
Apparently run by women.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Is this bad that I laughed and Mitch took offense? Or
I was curious to see who would
who's going
to
laugh and who's going to go, whoa. No, these were men.
The views expressed by Wayne are
Wayne's only.
Not shared.
Oh, it's too bad because so many people were applauding him and saying, man, this is revolutionary for the butcher industry. And now he had to call all these people back and say, sorry, I've been shut down.
And what was the reasoning?
Yeah, that he wasn't able to meet the expectations that the meat inspector, the food inspector people placed that they had said he would meet originally. So I think what it comes down to, and I'm just guessing here, is that when you drop your meat off at a typical locker like I do at Hudson, when I drop that animal off, they're indoors. They're in an environment that is completely controlled all the time.
Because when I think Hudson, South Dakota, I think sanitary. Except maybe the bathroom at Waddy's, but other than that.
And this is the same way at Babcock's, wherever, whatever locker, George, wherever. You're indoors, the animal's indoors from the animal goes in live, comes out in plastic packages. It's all indoors. With this mobile butchering, you can't control your environment as well. Wind, dust, whatever. Flies, I don't know what, but they decided that since he couldn't control his environment well enough, they'd change their mind. Now he's adding on to his locker to put a kill floor on his locker, but now all of a sudden, what differentiated himself, the niche market he was in, the reason you were willing to pay him more money, he can no longer do. And now he will be just Kurt's locker. And while he'll still get business, how do you charge more?
You can't.
Need to be within your market. Well, uh-huh. He was his own market at that point. And I feel terrible for the guy. And I said, why don't you appeal? Why don't you push this? And he said, well, think about it. If I get these individuals' reasons or their decision overturned, I have to deal with these same people.
Same inspectors, me. Yeah.
And how do you think they're going to treat me once they've been made to look a fool?
Yeah. Pull off the white gloves.
I had to just say, you know what? It is what it is. I'll change my whole business model. And just devastating for the guy and everybody that's hearing. And he didn't go on Facebook and say that was the reason. He just said, having issues with my mobile butcher truck. You know, so people are like, oh, what's wrong?
Do you need a mechanic?
Need more diesel?
Yeah.
No, what happened was you've got government oversight that
overreach.
Sucked. And
overreach
because it's my meat. When I have, he's not USDA inspected, so my meat that goes to him and he cuts, I can't sell. It's mine.
Yes, because he's giving me.
I'm taking the risk of the fact that I can no longer, you know, the decisions you're not allowed to make as an individual because the government's decided you're too stupid is frustrating. And because they need to be sure that Kurt is playing by these rules, because I can't make that decision.
Did the change of president have anything to do with that?
No. It's a state level thing.
Oh, it's state level?
Yeah, there it is a state level.
Okay.
So blame Kim.
COVID Kim. No, and it's too bad for them to say, oh yeah, you bet. Everything looks good. Your plan's good. Oh, yep, your truck that you built, really good. The way you're doing it, awesome. Oh, yeah. No, we changed our mind.
But it's they gave him He started butchering already, right?
I thought the inspection thing only applied for retail cuts, though.
So the inspection for retail cuts is oversight of every animal before they're killed and then like daily inspection after. For example, Hudson. My animals that I bring to Hudson, I can all sell as retail cuts because they have an inspector there every day before kill to inspect the animals. And then that guy comes back and inspects after the kill. Now, your smaller lockers or lockers that aren't being USDA inspected, and I could be speaking, I'm kind of not staying in my lane here, okay? So if I'm wrong,
so Aaron's saying is that there might be a precedent of him talking out of his ass, but we'll give you the benefit of the doubt here.
But this is how I understand it. So like when we used to go to George or whatever, that is inspected, but only periodically. They come in and they
kinda
say,
like
okay, your
health
stuff
inspector
is,
coming to a restaurant.
Your stuff is clean. Yeah, yep, you're doing good. Everything's fine. Show us how you do this. Okay, good. And then they leave and might not come back for a long time. And that's why you're going to pay more for USDA inspection because they have a dude on staff. Mm-hmm. And that guy, like, because you have to have your animal be there between 6:30 and 7 because at 7 o'clock he leaves and goes to tea. And inspects all the animals there to be sure they're healthy before slaughter. And then he comes back to Hudson to re-inspect everything. And then he goes back to T to inspect stuff over there. And he had to pay for that guy somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's too bad for Kurt. I feel terrible. I was upset. I was like, I'm gonna send a Facebook message to Randy Feenstra. And I'm going to tell him I'm really mad. But again, to Kurt's point, what do? Nothing. You can't because they retaliate. These are the same guys. They aren't going to like being overturned, made to look bad.
You wonder how far down the pipe that decision was made. Was it the on-site inspectors that said,
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Even though those are the same people that said, yeah, let's go. This is a great
idea.
Let's roll with
it. From how I understand it, it was the same guys. Exact same people.
Because how many
they rode with him.
They did.
And then made the decision that,
nope, don't like it.
But you told me that this was fine months ago.
Nope.
And how many animals did he butcher in that time?
I don't know how many, but I'm guessing again here, but probably 3 a week.
Oh, so it wasn't like he was just like on his fourth or fifth.
Right.
Like he had a definite business that was booming.
Mm-hmm.
That just this blatant government overreach.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. And Mitch is just shrugging his shoulders saying, no, you know, we live in a society where the government takes care of us.
I'm... You're making a lot of assumptions about the other people involved, and I don't know them, and I don't know what else was behind their decision. I do think it is kind of bullshit. The guy, or not kind of, definitely bullshit.
Okay, all right.
For this guy, but part of me thinks, was it because, we set a precedent, now everybody with a refrigerated box truck is going to go try to do this?
Well, if you're going
to
do that, say no. Say no at the beginning. Don't go midstream.
I agree with you.
Hey, calm down.
God, you're making.
Nobody's okay. Accused him of. Okay, never mind. Like we did last time.
Yes,
turned into a deal. But yeah, it's frustrating for him. I feel bad, and I still have to go pick up 600 pounds of ground beef, where every package says Brutus. No, just kidding. It doesn't. Man, he's going to be tasty.
I can't wait about
grilling that burger that's going to be real good.
This is the circle of life, you son.
You're terrible this time.
Well, it's true, right? You know you'd be thinking something to that effect.
Yeah, I'm happy he's gone. There's just a different air on the yard, and it's nice not having to always just kind of wonder. And for him, too, to not always have to wonder now, either. He's not really wondering anything.
No, he's not. He's not.
So we're going to be looking for a new bull. I'm going to be looking for a new...
I'm one beer in there.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to head out to Dubuque.
You see, you're going back to the Amish route, huh?
Taking the whole family again?
The whole family. I'm thinking about taking the toy hauler, because this bull's supposedly really gentle. I think I can put him in the back of the toy hauler.
Oh, this would
and
be fun.
And now
it's
tax deductible.
And now it's tax deductible. You got it, Mitch. You're a farmer.
And so will be the repairs, tax deductible, that are necessary after doing that.
Let me get you a tax deductible camera to put back there so we can witness this thing live. Because I think this will be gold. Now, are you going to tell the your Amish brethren that the burgers that you had on the way here were made from the...
He knows.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, yeah. He feels He feels bad about that. Well, he was the broker last time. I'm not the guy. He bought it.
Oh.
It's not. It wasn't his bull.
It's my brother Hezekiah has a bull.
It was Isaac. Also very...
Yes. With a K.
Yeah. But... yeah, and in his email, he said, "I've always felt bad about screwing you." And... No, he didn't say that.
Wow.
No.
So did he give you all the specs, you know, the scrotal circumference and all that on the bowl?
Yeah, measurements. Everything looks really good. Big. What do these numbers mean?
Well, we know how that worked out last time.
Yeah.
He just had a bad attitude, and not because he was... He just was afraid of everything all the time. And, well, you know what the thing is? His entire life, he thought, they're out here to kill me. And then finally, the last time he saw me, he was right.
I was right all along.
Well, you did shove something up his sphincter and electrocuted his prostate. So I'd want to kill you, too.
Dusty did. I just held it. You remember how after we record, we wonder if it's going to be any good or not?
There are days.
But then we listen, and usually it's all right.
There are days.
I'm having a feeling about this episode.
This
segment.
Like it's gold.
Yeah, about the last 3 minutes or so. I could probably do without later on.
Well, Wayne will listen to it tomorrow, where you have a whole
and
fresh set of eyes.
If he sounds dumb, then it will get cut out. And if not...
Yep.
I will say that as far as the editing goes, I cut out more of me than I do of anyone else. Just out of deference and fairness to the both of you.
Oh, no, that's because I think you're more concerned about what you say and not less concerned about what I said.
Wow, Aaron sounded really stupid there.
Leave that in.
I just talk more.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Two different ways to look at it, I guess.
Okay. All right. Back with segment two after this.
Hey, it's Amy from Saul's with Fireworks, and I love listening to Dutch by Association. Join us Friday, June 18th for food trucks and our free fireworks demo. We're celebrating 5 years of fireworks. Mention that you heard this on the DBA podcast for a special gift. We're open every day at Salzman's Fireworks, 4 miles east of Sanborn on Highway 18.
Welcome back. Segment number two of Dutch by Association. And we had as we record this, it's the 15th, which is Tuesday.
Not Wednesday, as you said earlier.
Erroneously said it was Wednesday.
That's fine.
Tuesday, so tomorrow will be the first council meeting where we meet our new councilman, Pastor Ken, who is a good friend of the morning show back when we were on, and had the opportunity to sit down and spend some time with him as he was going through the kind of the campaign and you know, trying to bring him up to speed with some of the things that we were looking at as a council and you know, how the minutia, how some of this stuff works. And yeah, it'll be good to have a full council back in session. Be good to have some new ideas.
It's you can all sit close together now, apparently. Yes, COVID is done.
Yep, I can go back to my normal seat.
Yay!
My placard is back in its rightful place, and still kind of just roll your eyes at the fact that we're going to have to do this whole thing again in November. So we get a couple months.
Well, and maybe this is the best way to do it. You get a little, you can dip your toes in, see if you like it. And if Pastor Ken doesn't like it, he can just not file his papers.
Oh, and I guess, that said, I did do the same thing when I got the job, but I had a full year. It wasn't a couple months. It was a full year.
So he'll have to decide by the end of August or mid September because that's when you have to have your papers in.
File. So, yeah. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't want to pour salt in the wound, but, you know, the person that gets, that brings this whole thing to a city council, a citywide election, gets less votes than the actual petition that was filed to bring this to an election and spend the couple thousand dollars to get us here.
It was already budgeted. It's like it's money that was spent. It's not like the city agreed to either spend it on an election or start it on fire.
Right. It would have still
been. So don't tell
there.
Me that it was already budgeted. I don't care. Well, and it wasn't a money thing for me. For me, it was a thing that we have a representative government here. This is a democracy. to appoint it as a democracy. We elect representatives to make decisions. And there is a law in the books that says when you have an opening, you can put somebody in for the remainder of the term. This time being a small, Pastor Ken is going to have to decide July in under 3 months whether he wants to run again. Great. This is really good that we went through this whole practice. Again, gutting, in my mind, the representative government of Sheldon. We have so many times taken big decisions out of the hands of our representatives and said, nope, that needs to be on a ballot for everybody to vote on.
And you're 100% right. The biggest example that I can think of was when the Mid-American franchise fee discussion was being introduced. And, you know, we have needs, that we can't fill with the tax rates as they are. But one way that we were able to maybe generate some more income and, get some money from the people that live here and benefit from the services that are not property owners was looking at a franchise fee from Mid-American that, you know, it would be, yes, it is a tax. You know, people say, well, it's not a tax. Well, okay, yeah, it pays for services. And it was earmarked specifically for emergency services. Yeah, so, like, you know, it's like you can rent and you know, need the ambulance, you're not paying for it. You know, your tax dollars aren't paying for it. I mean, hopefully you pay the bill, but we write off half, if not more, of the ambulance calls anyway. So when that happened, you have this, when it got to the point where we said, all right, this is a good way for us to be able to raise the funds needed to be able to provide quality emergency services for our city, the vocal minority who have nothing better to do than to whine, bitch, moan, and complain did exactly that. And they exploited the city code that said if you get so many signatures and just upended the wheels of government and made it so that yet another roadblock was thrown up in the name of progress. Now we can sit and we can debate whether or not you thought this fee was good or bad. What it came down to is you upend representative government. You upend the form of representative government that we have by bringing everything to an election, bringing everything to a boiling point, making accusations about the city leaders that about their character, about who they are, talking to not only customers of council representatives, but to other business leaders and in some cases to employers about how dare they or how could they and how could you support someone who thinks like this. Now, to me, as a member of the representative government, it underscores the absolute need for volunteerism and for a spirit of getting involved, because it's this very, very small subsect of the community who wants nothing more than to see us fail so they can say, see, look, I told you so. I told you we'd fail, because they're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. And I just realized that I've been on like a 3 minute long soapbox, but it infuriates me to no end, because I'm at the point, I'm 2.5 years in or whatever it is. I don't want to do this anymore. I'll continue to do it, but all the excitement, all of the
hope and change.
Yes. The hope and change, Mr. Obama. All the life has been sucked out of me by small minded individuals that wish to divide.
And if you had a boss, I would complain to him. I would complain to your boss.
What gets me is, it, you know what,
even if I disagree with these people, obviously they're entitled to their opinion every bit as much as I am entitled to mine. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with that. But some of them have been proven wrong on some of these issues and still refuse to admit it. Just recently, I don't know if you remember this, but we were out to eat and somebody who I know was very vehemently opposed to the pavilion made a comment about, yeah, that albatross around our neck out to the east that's going to break the city. I told him that was going to happen. It's just like I said. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Nope. The pavilion has been very successful financially and otherwise. Yep. As I understand it, will be more than cash flowing again, now that we're back into a normal rhythm following COVID, right?
Correct.
So how can you still say that? You were wrong about that. We had all these people were projecting it's going to cost us $200,000 a year we're going to lose by running that place. It's the exact opposite of that. And yet they're still using the same tired line. That albatross around our neck is going to break the city. You were wrong about that. That doesn't mean you're wrong about everything. And you could have been right, but can you not look at the facts and admit, well, you know what? I got that one wrong.
Look, I don't like getting all super political and getting charged up and rah, rah, fist in the air. We're going to turn this place into the next Sioux Falls or Sioux City or hell, even Spencer. But I do care and I do love this town. And it just pisses me off to see people actively try to shit on it because it wasn't their idea.
Amen.
Yeah.
Speaking of politics, coming off of our Rob Sand discussion.
Interesting discussion.
My father-in-law listened to the podcast. I don't know how many he's...
Yes. Really?
Oh, boy. I don't know how many he's listened to. It shocked me when he told me that.
Oh.
It's like... Oh. It's like, yeah. Oh, you did... You
The whole
you
thing. You do. Okay. Every word.
Yeah,
okay.
I listened to... Yeah, he said, I listened to the auditor one. And I was like, oh... You did?
You wouldn't like the other ones, probably.
You don't have to listen.
You know the ones where we talk and the guest doesn't? You might not like those as much as the one where the guest talked and we didn't. No, it's he thought it was really, really good and informative. And what a feedback do you get? You know, you really should have pushed him on abortion. What? Didn't know the auditor really had anything to do with that.
Well, you know, they say that you might want to be governor someday.
Well, still probably not a whole lot to do with that, but okay.
And then it comes back to when the latter part of the conversation, when I, you know, accused him of being a known Democrat.
He said, how many people do you know where your relationships have been fractured because of the political party divide? We had a guy in our church who ran for O'Brien County Supervisor as a Democrat. And the guy... He's since passed away. A wise man would have made an incredible supervisor, but yet received only a handful of votes because of the letter he had behind his name. Yeah. Had nothing to do with how he stood on issues at the county level. But the fact that he would associate with that party discredits him from me voting for him for O'Brien County supervisor.
I almost voted for a guy who was a Democrat for Bryan County Supervisor several years back because he was refreshingly honest in the newspaper when they asked, why do you want this job? He was the only one that said, because I need health insurance. And that was the entirety of his answer. And there were several other people that I would guess might be in the same boat. And I thought,
never say it, yeah.
Well, you know what? I might not agree with this guy on a lot of things, but I guess he kind of tells it like it is, even if it's to his detriment.
But, you know, from a policy making decision and especially when you're looking at local politics, you could be I know there are people that are on the Sheldon City Council, for example, there are Republicans and Democrats that are on the city council. I'll tell you that right now. I know that for a fact.
Well, that's just because you are. You can say it with confidence.
Nice. But you know what happens? Maybe this is the only level of government where it works. But you know what? Everything's done bipartisan.
Right. And it's like, just imagine if you could have that at the state level where people behaved, presumably, which unfortunately you can't at the county level because you have to declare your party to run at the county level. Just think if you didn't declare your party at the county level and there weren't primaries It just was an election. And maybe you would still need like an open primary to thin the group out. But just think. And then you move that to the state level. But the party side really seems to have done more damage than any good it ever did for being able to understand what somebody stood for, I guess.
But, you know, at the end of the day, someone's making money off it. And I think that's the primary.
The advertisers.
Yeah, the advertisers of the PACs. I mean, how much money you're plowing into PACs on both sides? You know, there's so much money to be made there, and it's gross. It's sickening. You know, and I hear the responses that are like, well, you know, yeah, you got this utopian view that, well, wouldn't it be nice if we could do this or that? Well, guess what? We're in the real world. We got to pick a side.
It didn't used to be like that.
No,
it wasn't that long ago. It was within my lifetime. I remember that. There, people weren't so wrapped up in that crap.
There was a large cross-section that were willing to vote for Tom Harkin because they felt he represented the state the best. Mm-hmm. Republicans that voted for him because he represented the state the best. And then, yeah, you do see things becoming a harder political divide, and then it's not that way. But here we are. This is the reality we're in.
I remember giving you crap years ago. Maybe it was the last election. Not this last presidential election, but the one before it, about voting third party.
Yeah, and I remember that too. Yeah,
throwing your vote away. And I go on record say that you were wrong, and I wait.
It just comes so naturally for you to say it that way.
I'm so used to it. I was wrong. You were right when you said if everyone thought that way, nothing would change. That was your exact argument, and I 100% agree with you that, you know, when in the grand scheme of things, I guess, what did it come out to? You know, you was 1 or 2%.
Oh, my guy was like 0.5%.
Right. But you've
probably never even heard of him, but his views most closely aligned with mine. But I bet he would align with your guys' views pretty damn closely, too. And a whole bunch of other people's. And if everybody didn't have this, I have to pick this side because, well, you know, that other guy's not going to win. Well, if everybody voted for the person who most closely aligned with their views, some of those people might actually be viable.
I really hope Rob Sand runs for governor, because people that listen to this podcast can say, I heard an interview with that guy. It was on the podcast I listened to every other week. Yeah, I think that's important. And because I know people like my father-in-law, would he normally have sat down and listened to an interview with Rob Sand when Rob Sand decides to run for governor? Because I think he's going to. Probably not.
No.
Wouldn't really take the time to do it. But he did. He listened to it and said, yeah, he really seems like a really sharp guy. Mm-hmm. Really doing a really good job for the state.
We have the benefit of having talked to him on the air and off the air. And he was the same guy on air and off air, because we had actually referenced conversations, like you talked about the particular hymn that he had heard or passage that he had heard at church. That
the hymn that they'd sang and the verse that really hit him
about his political future, but that you understand who the candidate is, and not because of what the party is. Back with segment number 3. Where we will wash our hands 100%
of anything political
right after this. Hey, actually, here's my little radio tease. You'll get to hear about how I am going to do something dumb in 2 days.
Like beyond normal dumb?
Yes, beyond normal dumb.
Okay.
Like I'm going to have to travel several hours to do something dumb.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, it's a radio tease. Back with more after this.
Hey, it's Amy from Salz with Spireworks, and I love listening to Dutch by Association. Join us Friday, June 18 for food trucks and our free fireworks demo. We're celebrating 5 years of fireworks. Mention that you heard this on the DBA podcast for a special gift. We're open every day at Salz with Spireworks, 4 miles east of Sanborn on Highway 18.
You had kittens at the house again?
Yes, our Salzma firework cat, the one female we got.
The one left?
No, there's 3 left of the 4 that we got.
No, okay. So
just in case the kids are listening, the other cat walked off. So there's 3 left.
First off, if your kids are listening, we've done a bad job as parents.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean you.
No. We learn about life and death at our farm.
Boy, and how many of those?
That's the benefit of living on a farm.
A lot of, yeah. But so there's three. There's two neutered toms and a female, and she had her kittens. Yes. And it was so funny the other day. She thought she would take them out of the shop because it's kind of getting warm in the shop, maybe.
Yeah.
So I saw her climb through. We have a doggy door. Climb through the doggy door, kind of haul her kitten along, get about 20 feet away, and like, you could just see the cat go, man, it's freaking hot out here. And just picked up the little kitten and went right back into the shop. I ain't moving them.
Never mind.
Is plenty fine in the shop. I'm no breeze, but you know what? It ain't 95. The sun ain't shining up, but it was just so funny. Well,
you could be a good guy and turn the fan on for him.
I probably could, but I just watched the whole thing. You could just see the mama cat go, oh my goodness, it's hot out here. We're going back.
Nope.
It's been a lot of fun for my kids. It's just the cats. Cats just, for whatever reason, don't get hit by the mailman or the ups guy or the feed truck. And it's been...
Or they don't contract diabetes or go blind.
There's that, too. That doesn't happen to cats.
So... I obviously have not learned that lesson because Thursday.
No.
Oh, no. I saw your Facebook post.
I'm driving to Mitchell, South Dakota to pick up a puppy.
Aren't there any puppies?
Is it free?
You sound just like my mom.
Hell no.
That's what my mom would say.
It's not.
And then my mom would follow that up with, aren't there any closer?
Well, certainly. You're going to drive past thousands of dogs.
But it's a special one. It's,
well,
you know, the genetics here are really good. They come from a long line.
Well, it's not going to take much.
The guy that sold him Reggie said that, too.
You know, one thing we don't have in this line? Diabetes. Proven.
Pretty much they all got their sight, too. It's fine.
Blood sugar remains, you know, fine. It's not an issue.
What kind of dog are we talking?
It's a boxer.
Big again.
Well, so my...
Their furniture looks way too nice. Got to have something in there to chew on it.
Just stop. When I was a wee lad of like whatever, however old I was 12 years ago, I got Reggie. And then because I've always had a dog. So it was weird not to have a dog because I grew up having a dog. Did not have a dog for a couple years when I had first moved here. Got a dog. Realized I couldn't care for a dog, got rid of the dog, and then realized that chicks dig puppies, so then got a dog, and that was Reggie. So now that whole roller coaster has come to its eventual conclusion, I had met my wife in the middle of that. The dog helped, I think, as I'm told.
I guess I really like your dog more than you. But
yeah, I guess me I'll marry you. Gives me a reason to stick around. But then after that, my wife decided, or she was my fiance at the time, that we should get another dog. Mm. And so we went out to the Humane Society up at Milford and found this boxer. Her name was Tana and was the best dog that I've ever had, and that either of us have ever had.
And it was indicative of the breed.
Yes.
So you think.
Yes. Supposedly. Mm.
Yes.
We're going to get another one, and it's going to be just like the last one.
Great personality. Had personality.
Slobbered.
A little bit. They would blow bubbles out of the sides of their mouths when they were drooling.
Oh, drooling.
Well, yeah. It doesn't surprise me that no socks on the counter guy that would say, oh, well.
If you put a deposit down, it's not too late.
No, okay,
it's too late.
Done. So Thursday, I drive to Mitchell and come back with a female boxer.
How old?
8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, good thing you have hard surface flooring.
I bought a mat to put down for the urine and whatnot. But, oh, okay, come on. I got to show you this picture. I mean, when you see this picture, you'll understand. I mean, right?
You went and looked. I've never owned anything that wasn't a free mutt.
Well, and I'm sure your wife would say the same thing. But, so, it was weird. After Reggie died, you know, it was just quiet. It was just
There's no more diapers. There was no more insulin shots.
We could go places freely and not worry about it.
There was no more wet spots on the floor. I could see where life was really
look
different.
At that dog, huh? Come on, Aaron. Your heart ain't made of stone.
Mine is. Show me the dog.
There's a pile of them.
Yeah.
I see a face.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right. How about we go?
They showed you the picture of the good one.
Oh, no, there's multiple pictures of multiple dogs.
Did you pick the one already? Or are you going to get there and they'll be like, oh, here's someone from a long ways away. Let's give them the one that walks sideways.
Oh, that's the stock photo.
Oh, for crying out loud. You tell me, you look in those puppy eyes and you say that.
Let me see now.
I like dogs. I just.
Remember when you and I had an argument on radio that these small nosed dogs overheat.
They can't breathe.
Yep. Yeah. And yet you go right back to a dog that's designed not to survive in the heat we're in.
No, perfect. The nose is not as smushed as it was on a pug rat terrier mix. So at least they've got a little bit of ability to exhale and
cool their blood.
Yes. But I guess I'm kind of surprised that I'm hearing this much consternation from a guy who bought the same dog three times and killed him all three times.
I wish it was the same. You're making it sound like a cat. Dogs don't have three lives. No, it's three different dogs.
Of the same breed.
Correct. Yeah. And Asa thinks maybe we should try.
And you drove further than Mitchell, South Dakota to get him.
Oh, you did?
I didn't, but I had someone drive.
So I will hear none of this back talk.
Well, I can speak from experience. That's what I'm speaking from, is that I've had things not go well, and that's me looking on that experience and telling you it's not too late to back out.
Well, I will not bring it to your acreage ever.
I was going to say, if you don't like the dog, have him dog sit. Won't make it through the weekend.
Well, we're just going off the facts.
Yeah, history. Hey, yeah, you got to learn from history, don't you?
Yeah.
Because history will repeat itself if you're not careful.
If you're not careful, yeah, you have to.
It's astounding to me. You can't have that much traffic on your road.
We have that much traffic on our road.
And I don't even know if it's that you have
that. Every feed truck on O'Brien County has to go down 280th twice a day.
Yeah, maybe it is that much, but yeah, they're going 55 plus.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put the regulators in there.
And they're like, I can see the intersection easy. Because the field's set lower than the roads on my intersection, so there's no slowing down. You can see
the quarter mile
both ways, so there's just...
Whew. Hammer down.
Yep, here we go. No, a dog. Whoops. I think I missed him.
Nope.
It's tough. No, we're sticking with cats.
Mm-hmm.
A boy and his cat.
But each time that your dog died, it was by someone driving for their job, was it not?
As far as we know, yeah.
Because it was like, what, two feed trucks and a mailman? Is that how it turned out?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I didn't know what elevator to send the bill to.
Uh-huh.
You own this dog now. Here's the bill.
Yeah, I'm sure that would work out well for
three times, huh?
Once, twice, three times a dumbass.
That's why I had mutts growing up.
Will you ever have a dog in town? Probably in your house?
Not. No.
Have your kids ever asked?
My daughter asks daily.
I'm going to have your daughter over when we get the puppy.
Oh, she'll love it.
Yeah.
She loves dogs. Absolutely. I love dogs, but I grew up on a farm with outside dogs and not in the house.
You need the little, it seems.
And we're gone. Like in the summertime, we go to the lakes on the weekend.
Why can't you bring the dog with?
My parents don't have a dog, and I really don't want to drag a dog around, really, to be honest with you.
Well, the nice thing would be to just let them walk and not drag them, but I could see how you, a farmer, would.
That
just,
is not.
So my son, my oldest, has a buddy from town who's like, probably the toughest hunting. I could butcher a deer, field dress them in his class, really tough. And what dog do they have in their house? This little Shih Tzu or something, the white curly haired dog. Mm-hmm. And Ace is like, we should get a dog like my buddy so and so. And No. Well, what's wrong with that dog? If you can't see what's wrong with that dog,
son,
we're not gonna have ourselves a little white curly haired thing here.
Because then, yeah, that's going to be something that the fox runs away with, or the coyote, or right, whatever. Or
a bald eagle comes down, yeah, swoops and picks meow up.
The last time you'll see him will be dangling from the talons of a hawk.
Speaking of which, do you still have your chickens?
No.
So they were all grabbed by predators?
Yes. We had such good luck for so many years on the farm of chickens, and now we just have too much wildlife around now. Like last night came home, it wasn't even hardly dark yet, and there were three raccoons trying to get into our cat food thing. So we have this tub that's like a 30-gallon or 20-gallon deal that we bought at the farm store, and the lid locks in by spinning.
Sure.
And then the handles flip up to lock it up. If you don't flip the handles up, those raccoons will spin that lid loose out of its lock and then tip the whole thing over.
It's old Roy to their heart's content, or kibbles and bits. Or mm-hmm.
There's scratches all over the lids and all over the handles of the raccoons know how to get into there.
And what is the cheap Bomgar's cat food that you can get?
I'm seeing it in mind. It's always on sale, which speaks to me. I can't remember what it's called. I can see it. It's a white and blue bag with a picture of a cartoon cat.
So no fancy feast.
No, nothing out of a can. Yeah.
No albacore tuna.
No. I look at the how many cents per ounce
thing. Well, all right. So, Mitch, you talked about growing up on a farm. Did you, you guys had farm cats?
Yeah. Well, you're going to have them whether you want them or not.
Well, and I guess that speaks to my question. Did you make it a point to feed them?
Well, we fed them.
All right. So you wanted to actively keep them around.
Well, no. It's just we don't want them to starve.
Yeah, but you don't want to feed them too much.
But shouldn't they be mousers? Isn't that like the whole point?
Well, hopefully we didn't have enough rodents around to feed an army of cats.
You lived in Sutherland, so let's be real.
On a farm near Sutherland.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying about Sutherland? Come on.
The hills have eyes.
No, you don't want to overfeed. And rats. But you also don't want to underfeed your farm cat because they'll just go away.
I'll go to the neighbor. Mm-hmm. Our cats are good mousers. Yep, they leave dead mice lay all over the porch. You think it's great.
It's a gift for you.
Right. Oh, thanks. Another blood stain on
earning
the
my
porch.
Keep.
Good work, cat. So they're smart enough to catch them, but they don't eat them.
But they catch them, but don't eat them? Well, yeah.
Right.
Well, this, yeah, the kibbles and bits or
meow mix or whatever. I love liver. I love chicken. Meow mix, please deliver. Very good.
Well, it's better than the audio car wreck that you tried to provide us with the Gettings Gardens jingle. I had people talking to me about that. It stuck out to them because it made them not want to listen to music ever again because it...
Nobody said anything.
Scarred them for
nobody
life.
Nobody said anything.
Andy really liked it.
Well, he said
he put on
at
good
the
time.
He's a nice guy. It sounded better than I thought it did I listened to
he
it.
He said we should record that during the recording and then never said anything ever again.
If you could go ahead and delete that.
That's pretty off-brand for us.
That is their jingle. It sounds like that only with
that
good singing.
That was their jingle 15 years ago.
No. It was.
You think it's still played today?
Recent. Well,
no.
KICD, they probably have the same jingle from 20 years ago.
You think they still advertise on the radio?
I don't know. No, I've heard it definitely in the last 5 years.
Just imagine running a business like Gettings Garden, which is so dependent on things outside of your control. And then having to let the public know that you're open or closed today before social media.
Right.
Oh. Now social media, there's what they're TikToking, he said.
TikTok. Yeah. I mean, I won't succumb to the TikTok. I do want to see it, though, if someone wants to share it with me on another platform. Andy TikToking. That would
he
be
was
pretty
bouncing
pleasant.
Around on the strawberry inflated strawberry bouncy house thing. So for me, we touched on this the first segment. So Asa got to go eat with Andy and his wife and Andy's dad, Don. When I worked there, it was such a family thing that you had dinner in Grandma Cheryl in her house. And then there's Don like Senior. The farmhouse farm dinner.
So is that on the same site?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, the same site. We would all come back. So Grandma Cheryl would have chores that she would have to take care of. And then at noon, she would let it known across the radio. You would hear the guy that was walking beans with you. You'd hear Cheryl say, I'm going to the house for dinner. I'm going to make dinner. It'll be ready in a little while. At noon. And as a young man, you were nearly ready to implode.
Yeah.
And because you've been out there since six walking beans, just praying Christ returns so you can be done with this. And
but then yeah, that comes off the radio and then suddenly his stomach goes.
Yeah. And then finally at like one or quarter after one, Cheryl would come across the radio again and say, dinner's ready. Come on in. And all the different crews would come on in. And there'd probably be 25, 30 people in the dining room and living room, kitchen of Don Senior and Cheryl's house. And it was such a thing for me as a kid because I'd never really been outside of anywhere other than my buddy's homes. And then there they had all their helpers in to have dinner, like a home cooked meal every day.
Wow.
But then that made the afternoon super short because you'd get back out there at like 2 and then you just work from 2 till 5 and hope day's over. But mornings were hell. As a young man, you're just like, oh, this is killing me.
So it's gotta be kind of fun that your son is going through some form of that hell.
Oh yes, yeah.
And you know, the character building that happens, and now Mitch, I'll go to you with your son being a town boy. He's probably not going to work till what, Fairway? Like Fairway usually is like the where it starts. Well,
my parents will disown me if I say he's going to work at Fairway because my mom was a 38 year employee of Hy-Vee. So
just don't.
Sorry, mom, if you're listening. But yeah, I know it's a lot harder. I mean, I started doing construction work when I was 12 with my dad, and I'd been doing farm work prior to that.
Right.
Well, today, I mean, he'd have been tossed in jail. You know, if it wasn't Sutherland, even back then, he probably would have been, you know, nobody there cared, but it was still illegal. But yeah, I've thought about that a lot. Like, what am I going to do with him? Because I want him to have a hard summer job, but
I know
a lot of farmers, but there's a lot less physical labor on most farms today than what there was with the exception
of Gettings. How many guys are small square baling?
Hardly any. Virtually none.
Well, used to be everybody was.
Well, and now it's funny because we've talked in the past about Aaron chasing children around. Now, like, we have to, like, we barely get to record because of Mitch's busy schedule because he's got something literally every night with both kids at ball games. I mean, when would that happen?
He's going to
get such a lover of sports. Your kids are going to be in a sport in every season.
True.
And a practice every night.
They are. They'll find time to work, though. I did.
But it's so different now than from when you were younger. You've got now. Yeah. Oh, for sure it is. You've got all these camps your boy's going to have to do and all this AAU stuff and all this summer rec. AAU,
but no, summer rec is huge. I'm just looking at our calendar right now. So Wyatt is already really busy. Today he had basketball at 9 a.m., golf at 10 a.m., baseball skills camp at 11 a.m., and then a third grade baseball game tonight.
You're teaching him to be an elitist
this
already?
Golf?
Tomorrow he has soccer, he has best shooting camp, and he has baseball practice.
And you tell me that he'll just as much time as I had as a kid. Was that your schedule when you were his age?
No, this is
darn right. That wasn't your schedule when you were that age.
Well, when I was in third grade, I didn't have any schedule at all.
Right, and that's going to continue if you let this behavior go on like this, Mitchell.
Nope. He's going to work.
You're going to call this behavior. Well, no. Son, if you're going to make anything of yourself, you're going to learn important things in football. Learn more important things in sports than you can at a job. So don't worry about the job.
No, I'm not going to do that. But you do learn important things in sports. If you don't think you do, you're wrong.
Now, I'm sure that your buddy Sleaze and Sneezy and smelly.
My buddy Sleaze is a good guy.
Who happens to be a...
What?
I don't know. What is
construction guy.
Oh, okay. Huh. Do they still call him Sleaze?
Yeah, 100%. Yep, I actually...
Is it Sleaze's construction?
Well, I was wondering... No. Well, yeah, I didn't actually know what he did for a living. I just wanted him to take the ball and run with it because I assumed it would be something to that end.
No, I think professionally he goes by his real name, which is Eric. But I met a guy through work from... He lives in Southwest Iowa, which, of course, a guy named Sleaze probably is going to be from further south. You sure. Know. But...
Elitist.
He's one of my best friends. Well, I'm not
north. What was that?
Just having fun. But I met a guy who is from the same hometown, and I said, "Oh, you might know my good friend from college, Eric Amdor." He had to think for a minute. He's like, "Eric Amdor? Oh, you mean Sleaze?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do mean Sleaze."
Yeah. I felt I actually had kind of the converse feeling with my wife and daughter because. Right now, like we must have missed the summer rec boat. So like there's blast ball and whatever ball and you know like all the things that you're listing that your kids are in, and Ava's in none of that. And all we get is, "Are my friends home yet? Are my friends home yet? Are my friends home yet?"
Yep, she could be doing blast ball right now.
Yeah, no, yeah, and it's one of those deals. Like, okay, let's make sure that we subscribe to whatever Facebook Rec. Post or Twitter or whatever to make sure that this does not happen again because she's driving us up a flipping wall. My friend's home yet? Have my friend home yet? Oh my gosh! Go do something by yourself for the love of
have God. Another kid.
We're getting a puppy.
Perfect.
And with perfect. That said, let's just go ahead and put the amen on this sermon.
Oh, man. Today's episode of the DBA podcast is brought to you by Salzma Fireworks. They are kindly sponsoring this podcast. And this Friday night, the 18th of June, they are having a fireworks demo. They're going to have food trucks there beginning at 5 p.m. The fireworks begin at 9. It's a free event. Come down there west of Hartley. East of Sanborn on Highway 18. Thank you to Salzma Fireworks.
And don't forget, if you mention that you heard this on Dutch by Association, you get a free gift. I'm assuming you have to buy something, but maybe you don't.
Yeah, it might be free.
It might be free.
I'll be you know there what? For it.
Yeah. Yeah. Find Aaron.
If all of my kids and me and my wife say you heard it on Dutch by Association, is that 6 free gifts?
Yeah, that'll probably do up the whole budget that Salzma had put aside for this.
We'll find out which county our listeners are from.
Oh, come on, Mitch. This isn't hot dog day. But anyway, and if you want to, you can learn more about the pod and just who the hell we think we are by hitting us up on social media. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at DBA Pod. And coming soon to a website near you at dbapod.com. And until next time, we'll see you.